This week on Young Rock, college Dwayne's NFL dreams end with a rude awakening as he loses his spot, rides the bench, and realizes that sometimes hard work just isn't enough. We're talking Young Rock Season 1, Episode 10 on Pro Wrestling Repackaged. Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us. My name is Chris.
And my name is Tessa.
And this is Pro Wrestling Repackaged, where the squared circle meets the small screen. This week, we're discussing Season 1, Episode 10 of Young Rock, Good vs. Great. Before we dive in, I just wanted to quickly mention that some of the cast of Young Rock recently did a virtual panel discussion with HawaiiNewsNow.com on the creation of the show, as well as the portrayal of Pacific Islanders in Hollywood. And the panel consisted of Uli Latukefu, who plays College Dwayne, Stacey Leilua, who plays Ada, Anna Tuisila, who plays Leah, Fasitua Amosa, who plays Sika of the Wild Samoans, as well as Jeff Chang, one of the executive producers. And they talked a lot about the cultural aspects of the show and making it authentic and accurate. And they also answered some fan questions and teased a little bit about the season finale. So if you have some time, definitely go check it out. It's at HawaiiNewsNow.com. It was a nice watch, so I would definitely recommend checking it out if you're interested in that. And with that, let's dive right in to this week's edition of The Rock Says.
The Rock Says, The Rock Says.
What's The Rock say?
Tessa, what say you?
This time I'm choosing a quote from Leah. So this comes from towards the end of the episode where she's having a heart-to-heart with Dwayne, and she says, "Life is tough, you must be tougher." It's a bit of a waffle wisdom moment of this episode. And I think there's just no better person to deliver this line than Leah, because I think she's the toughest of them all.
The toughest SOB in The Rock's life. And that's
pretty
including
much.
Steve Austin.
What?
Leah could take him. She'd kill him.
Yeah, be that as it may, things are what they are.
Yeah, that was a great scene. I loved that scene. But my quote, another kind of inspirational quote from The Rock, and this was in the 2032 scene early on, and the quote is, "I try to do anything like I do everything, and that's with all I got." And the first time I heard it, I was like, oh, that's a cute little saying. But it's really true when you think about this guy and all that he's accomplished and all that he continues to do in his life and just being involved with everything that he possibly can be involved in, and potentially political office, which it is really dawning on us that
this might be happening,
is now a real possibility. This guy really does just attack life with all he's got, with the viciousness of his grandmother. So they kind of tie in together a little bit. But yeah, I liked that quote, and it really did set this episode off on the right foot, which I feel like is more common when we have a Randall scene.
Randall is, yeah, he's the common denominator. It's going to be a good time if Randall's there.
And it's also going to be a little bit more appropriate, yeah, I feel like, in tying the overall episode together when Randall is there. But let's get into that right now. Young Rock, Season 1, Episode 10, Good versus Great, directed by Jeffrey Walker and written by Eric Oyama. Tessa, what goes on in this episode?
So here we're leading up to the presidential election, and The Rock takes us through three seasons of his college football career. Now, with each season, he begins to improve, he's training harder than ever, and gradually he's getting more opportunities. But unfortunately, his teammates just continue to outshine him in practice and in games, forcing him to rethink his NFL dreams.
Yeah, he was really just surrounded by a murderer's row of future football stars there in that college football program. And we will dive into all of that. But I have to say, overall thoughts, I loved this episode. I came away from it instantly. Really, it encapsulates a lot of what I like about this show, what I love about this show, the 90s episodes in particular. I thought it was very strong. I thought it was possibly just as strong as Check Your Head. And it doesn't quite reach the same goofy hijinks and just absolute delight that a Johnson and Hopkins did. But I really did enjoy this episode a lot. And there was so much about it, I think, to unpack, and maybe lighter on the comedy side, but not in a way that I feel it was lacking anything. I thought it had a lot of substance to it.
I think this one's just another example of how the college episodes are so much more versatile. There's so much going on with them. And again, I've talked about this before, you know, these focus on football, which isn't really my thing, but I think it's such a testament to this cast, especially Uli, that that doesn't stop the college football episodes from being some of my personal favorites.
Same here. I have zero interest in football, but I think it's just a relatable story, mm-hmm. which is why a lot of sports movies and shows tend to work. And why I think this show works great is also because we can relate to it being the fact that it's The Rock, and we all have some degree of kind of relation to The Rock in terms of we've all watched him in something at some point. But it's a very relatable story of, you know, just the reality of having these big dreams and the desire to make a better life for yourself and your family, but you're really just not able to get over the hump or get to that next level no matter what you do. That's a very relatable situation for a lot of people. So the fact that seeing that even a guy like The Rock, who could achieve beyond anybody's wildest dreams, seeing him here in this space, especially the space where he doesn't know what to do and he's still hanging on to his football aspirations, but then again, we literally just see him a few feet away from what would be his destiny in a wrestling ring, and he's just not there yet. He's not at that point yet. I am very interested in that space, and while I do appreciate the efficiency of being able to breeze by multiple seasons of his college football career in just one 20-minute episode, I would have loved to have seen an entire season exploring what we explored in these 90s episodes.
Yeah, I think that would be really worthwhile, more so than the 87 or 82 episodes, because there's so much more to explore with college Dwayne.
There's a lot more stakes there, and it really does make me curious to see how this all gets wrapped up, not only in the finale, but what we eventually see leading into, if there is a second season, what direction are they going to go? Because I don't think we're going to get a season, if we do get another season, I don't think we're going to get a season where Uli is training for the NFL Combine for any length of time. I think we might dive into maybe some of The Rock's Canadian football escapades. And that should be the official title of whatever segment we do if we get another season. The Canadian football escapades, but I think really they have to get into The Rock training.
You could easily do just different, like, 1990s years with just Uli and have it be like when he's in Canadian football, when he's training for wrestling, when he first enters WWE. And it could just all be Uli because he's so good at that era of The Rock.
And we can speculate all day on that, and we will certainly do a lot of that next week, and then in the coming weeks after the season finale, we will continue to speculate. But right now, let's dive into The Rock and Randall connection. They are reunited. This is the familiar format. The Rock and Randall, they're sitting down, they're having a couple of drinkies, and The Rock is just telling stories about his life, which is, I feel, where this concept works best, really.
Yeah, he and Randall just have a really good
rapport.
Yeah, so the election's coming up, but more importantly, as we said, Randall is back, but unfortunately, he's not alone. The Rock's here too. And he's ready to talk about himself some more. But The Rock has a new lesson this week, and it's that not everything is in your control.
I feel like in reality that there's very little that is out of The Rock's control. But I mean, as he says, I try to do anything like I do everything, and that's with all I got. And he puts everything into whatever he's doing. And in all of these situations that we have seen, The Rock will not accept defeat, and he will not accept defeat in this election. So that is very important to note. He doesn't just leave it to chance or leave it to whatever mystical force he believes in. He doesn't just leave it to gosh.
So, you know, this has me thinking. In the last college episode, we know that Dwayne pulled some strings to get Leah back in the United States. So this has me wondering, would he con the election to get what he wants? He won't accept defeat.
This has some pretty serious implications here.
Look, he's done it before. He's manipulated the system before. What's stopping him in 2032?
Yeah, all of a sudden on election night, Vince McMahon throws him a nightstick and he clocks his competitor.
We don't know if we can actually trust this man.
You know, something I really wanted to ask you was, do you think that Randall is giving equal time to the other candidates?
Absolutely
on the straight
not.
Line?
No.
Because this just seems very much like they're just hanging out and they happen to have cameras and
I think they're friends at this point.
Yeah.
I think there's a clear bias in his reporting.
Yeah, I can't see Randall just sitting down with Taft or whoever else is on the ballot.
Absolutely
and,
not.
And going down the... But I guess that's the parallel show that we're not seeing.
Well, that's the thing. There's so much we don't see. I have so many questions about, first of all, The Rock's policies compared to the senator's policies. There are so many questions left unanswered in this series.
Also in this 2032 scene, this was one of the better ones, I think, probably because of the reference to Lin-Manuel Miranda's musical remake of Major League.
Which I don't know what Major League is.
And The Rock not being cast as Pedro Serrano. All right, so I'll just quickly explain to you. Major League is a very funny baseball comedy movie, a late 80s comedy movie about the Cleveland Indians, and it stars Charlie Sheen and Tom Berenger and Corbin Burnson, and it's just a great movie. I quote it all the time, especially with my friends Tim and Justin. Great movie. The idea of Lin-Manuel Miranda doing a musical remake of Major League, that's something that you would get me in a Broadway theater to see that.
So how would a musical play out? Do you think that would work well?
You know, I don't know, because I don't know anything about musicals. I really don't, even though I was dragged to them constantly as a kid because my sister was a stage actress when she was younger. I know nothing about musicals, and I don't watch musicals. I have no interest in them. The closest thing I get to a musical is Bugsy Malone, but this I would see. I think just judging off of the success of Hamilton, I think Lin-Manuel Miranda could very well whip anything into a musical.
I think he's kind of like The Rock in that sense, where everything he does, people will just kind of flock to it.
How about a rock musical?
Oh my goodness.
The Rock of Ages. How about that? That's literally what the show could have been called.
Don't give him more
ideas.
The
Rock of Ages, because we see different ages of The Rock. Thank you very much. I'll collect my check.
That's it for this episode. Goodbye.
You know, I mentioned this off the top, but it's funny how when The Rock is just sitting down with Randall, the stories he tells are actually way more appropriate than any of the other instances of him hearkening back during these 2032 scenes. This one actually tied in quite well, I think.
They have just a more natural conversation about Dwayne losing his spot. So after an awful freshman year, which we saw in the first college episode, Dwayne is looking forward to a much better football season in his sophomore year. However, as we said, there's this colorful cast of characters, and we've talked about them before, and they're kind of better than him. And it leaves Dwayne with nothing to do but ride the bench.
As I mentioned before, he's surrounded by just a murderer's row of future NFL greats such as Warren Sapp and Ray Lewis. And I thought in particular, I thought Warren Sapp was a standout character in this episode. Warren Sapp being portrayed by Robert Creighton. I thought he was great. He was very funny. And it's another instance where you can see, ooh, maybe that's where The Rock got a little bit of his demeanor and his swagger for his character from Warren Sapp, who just says his name after receiving an award later in the episode.
I think it just says so much about these characters that Sapp, who I don't know anything about the real guy, but he managed to outshine The Rock in terms of showmanship and personality sometimes in these scenes.
Yeah, you can kind of see The Rock trying a little bit to be flashy on the field. He makes a good tackle or whatever. I don't know anything about football. Please don't come for me. he tackles a guy and then he like puts his hands in the air and like does a little pose. And it's very kind of like white meat baby face type of thing. It's not at all the type of swagger or charisma, but he does have that kind of penchant for showmanship. It's just not quite seasoned yet. And I think he picks a lot of that up from the people he's surrounded with here, at least in this show's version of The Rock.
Well, you even see it in like their little football meetings. He's trying to be funny. He's got his little jokes. But I think Sapp, with just his small little comments during these meetings, you know, they're one-off and they're random, but they're still really funny, or just him just constantly saying his name, which we know that The Rock likes to do.
Yeah. Warren Sapp was just very naturally funny. And I don't know anything about the man in real life, but if it's an accurate portrayal of him, then that's probably something that The Rock aspired to be, to own the room as soon as he walks in, and you can see Warren Sapp owning the locker room here, and Dwayne just kind of trying a little bit hard. And, you know, he's funny, but it takes, you could see kind of the gears turning in his mind.
He has to think about it. It's a little more forced. It's less natural.
And it's interesting that it does, at a point in his life, become a lot more of a natural thing for him. He really taps into that charisma. And maybe it's just the fact that he winds up joining the family business, so to speak, that he winds up tapping into kind of this untapped resource for him that is kind of following in his family's footsteps. So that's an interesting thing about just kind of the locker room vibe and atmosphere here. But, you know, he says this in the episode, but he was a good football player. He wasn't great, but he's really determined to show Coach Erickson, portrayed by Luke Hemsworth, by the way, one of the Hemsworths in this getting in on this series. No more Coach O. He's not in the picture at this point. So we have Coach Erickson here. Dwayne is just very determined to show the coach that he has what it takes to be a starter. But Warren Sapp, as funny as he is, he's also just here to take Dwayne's job as starting defensive lineman.
Yeah, and Uli plays this version of The Rock so well. Like, again, we say this every time, but where we had all that fun shenanigans in the last college episode, Uli does so good at calling back to that depression in the first one back in this episode, because you can really see that he's really upset. It's really just in his eyes. And he does that so well with these facial expressions, just looking so upset.
Well, there's a lot riding on this.
Yeah.
His entire family's future, he feels, is riding on his football career. So again, defeat is not an option. That's the mindset that he is in. But we have some breaking news here. It's now time for us to go to Dwayne's dorm report. I understand that there are some posters in this room that we need to examine. So Tessa, why don't we go now to Dwayne's dorm room and let's see what we find.
So the first thing I think that jumps out to everybody, if you're paying attention, is this Garth Brooks tour poster.
Got anything to say about that?
I got a lot to say. So, you know, before we said in the first episode, there was the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Nirvana posters. It's 1990. That seemed really out of place. Now this, I'm not a Garth Brooks expert, but I do know that at this time he's rising in popularity. You know, these are one of his biggest hits, I think, are coming out. You know, you have The Dance, I've Got Friends in Low Places. That's all around this time period. But it is funny to think about The Rock just sitting around listening to country music and going to a Garth Brooks tour.
Yeah, The Rock, as we know, he's an eclectic guy. He listens to everything from hard rock to rap to country.
In his book, he talks about his pre-game rituals, and he says he would always listen to rap, although he mentions that his favorite genres of music are R&B and country. So Garth Brooks is really fitting for him. I just would like to see him at a Garth Brooks show in 1991.
He probably stood out like a sore thumb.
That's all I can think of.
Let me tell you. What else do we have here? It looks like we have some sort of 80s hard rock or metal band poster. It looks like a backstage shot, maybe. It's really hard to tell.
Could be anyone.
And then there's also a poster where it looks like NWA, but I can't really verify. There's also a lot of smaller pictures, maybe family pictures, a lot of merchandise from the University of Miami and other sports teams. There's a lot of wrestling stuff as well. There's some Rocky Johnson posters. There's one where it's a steel cage. We can't quite see who's in there. But the other notable thing here, it's a poster that really looks like it could be in Johnny Lawrence's apartment. And do you want to tell us what it says here?
Yeah, there's a poster with an eagle that looks to be shrieking that says, "It's hard to soar like an eagle when you're surrounded by so many turkeys."
As we know, Dwayne Johnson, one of the founding members of Eagle Fang Karate. So this was a nice little Easter egg here to see in the I've been slacking on the Cobra Kai references. I just had to get it in somewhere. I also really liked his boombox. That was in.
Yeah, that's classic.
Yeah, just I love the way boomboxes look. They before the early 2000s, late 90s. I liked the old school kind of sharp looking, blocky boomboxes. I miss those. I really do. I miss cassettes. They suck, but I miss them. So that concludes this edition of Dwayne's Dorm Report. Who knows if we'll ever get to do another one, but, you know, I'm glad we at least got it in before the end of the season. But while Dwayne was not in that very dorm room, he was mostly just sitting on the bench during Miami Hurricanes games. But they did play for a national championship, and he was in the game, but for only one play, as we see. And first of all, just how hard that must be for him, just to kind of reckon with that, the fact that he was only in for one play, and that was it. It's as fast as that. But, you know, his family, bless them. They're still so proud of him. I mean, Atta's just mostly excited that some of the band members got knocked down, but... Well,
and Leah has her priorities when watching these games. She's just focusing on the mascots, which is very relatable. I don't know anything about football. I don't know anything about any sports, if we're being honest. You gotta circle in on that one thing, though.
Yeah.
What are the mascots doing?
Even when we're watching wrestling, you like to really zero in on... some of the other extraneous elements like that rather than the actual contest.
I'm just
place.
Trying to have a good time.
Oh, you are. And you know who else is having a good time? Rocky Johnson's having a good time going out to eat and getting this big, gigantic, what was it?
Oreo mess.
Something?
It's called an Oreo mess.
And I gotta say, this man's coupon game is impressive. I come from a coupon family. My mom is like the queen of coupons. This man's coupon game is very impressive.
Yeah, we're seeing him being very frugal. It kind of is like he's done working the gimmick.
Yeah, at least going out to eat in this instance. But yeah, I mean, he's working the solution. And the solution is, part of it is, at least, coupons. And it's got to be tough to swallow his pride. And we see how hard it is for Dwayne himself to deal with things like this. But Rocky seems to have adjusted pretty well. This man's he's ordering ice cream with coupons. He wants to just go swim with the dolphins. So he's making the best of this situation, which for the Johnson family, we know at this point is not easy. And it's not great at this point.
Yeah. Unsurprisingly, at this point, the Johnson family is still struggling. They're no longer cleaning people's houses, but we do see Otto working in what appears to be a call center for like a travel agency. So they can pay bills. So once again, we're seeing her sacrificing for her family.
The lessons of Sally Jesse Raphael are truly not lost on Atta. She is her own hero here. She is, she's just getting it done and she's sweating it out because this place looks miserably hot. And that's relatable for where we're recording.
It's very hot today, yes. But it looks like someone is about to die of a heat stroke in this office. But I guess you got to do what you got to do to provide for your family. Somebody's got to pay that college tuition.
Well, maybe he has a scholarship. I don't really know. I'm not familiar with the Rock's financial aid situation here, but I do like that Atta puts her customers on hold to get updates on Dwayne's football games.
She's very supportive. I mean, again, she primarily cares about the marching band and people getting just knocked down, not the actual game.
That's the important stuff. That's the stuff that stays with you.
Well, those are what would be viral videos. Today.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, so she wants record of it.
Atta must love YouTube.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, it's interesting. And we see in this episode that Dwayne eventually goes to work at the same call center as Atta, which really makes him realize how much harder he has to work to achieve that dream and provide for his family and get them out of this situation. And as we see in his NFL draft daydreams, which I really enjoyed, by the way, this episode made good use of both these fictionalized historical flashbacks, but also real historical footage of Miami Hurricanes games. And it was all pretty seamless. So it made for a nice experience in that way. I really love the production touches like that in these 90s episodes. But just the visualization of his NFL dreams, and then it progressively gets worse and worse and eventually comes to a screeching halt.
Gotta feel bad for him. But at the same time, you know, seeing how much his family is struggling while he's at home, it really just kind of encourages him to work even harder, if not just for himself, but to get his mom out of this office with no AC, no fans, no nothing.
Well, he eventually brings her a fan for her cubicle.
A king.
Just to say, I'm just going to make you a little bit more comfortable for now, but I'm going to get you out of here. so don't worry. Help is on the way, essentially. I just don't understand why everyone didn't bring their own fan.
Well, why should they have to pay?
If it's that hot every day, eventually it's like, okay, I just got to plunk down the money for a fan.
I'd at least have one of those little flapping fans, the handheld, that you have to do all the work.
You got to have something. Because this is, imagine how much weight you just lose just sitting there sweating all day.
She doesn't need jazzercise anymore.
No, she gets work and a workout. But yeah, Dwayne, this is really where he has to kick it up another notch, if you can believe that. And he does so by going to church, and his church is the gym. He's not praying to gosh, he is going and doing squat thrusts and bench presses and all the other gym stuff. He's just in there clanging and banging. And eventually he gets off the bench.
Yeah. He decides it's time to regroup, hit the gym even harder, training like literally all day, every day, because he really wants to get off the bench. And while he's curbing his expectations a little bit, he still really believes that he has the potential to get to the NFL.
Yeah, and at the very least, no one would work harder than him in the process of them all kind of competing as a team to get these starting positions and make it to the NFL and be a high-level draft pick. And the only person to actually beat him to the gym is Ray Lewis, who we know goes on to be a very big football star. Ray Lewis here, portrayed by Gavin Rocker. And Ray Lewis beats Dwayne to the gym at 5 a.m., or I guess getting there before 5 a.m. So right there, we see another instance of somebody younger and better and even more determined, almost like a machine, coming in and really kind of just instilling in Dwayne that, oh yeah, I work this hard and I am still not this good. So hard work doesn't always, that's not always it. And Dwayne's definitely putting in the work. It's not that he's slacking at all.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that anybody could be hungrier for this than The Rock or just, you know, Dwayne in general here. But there are a lot of people who, you know, maybe don't necessarily want it more, but are just better. And this is something he's always been aware of, because he talks about this in his book, too. He says, I was not a great natural instinctive football player, not compared to someone like Warren Sapp or Russell Maryland. He says, that much I recognize right off the bat. But he does mention that he was always, always praised for his work ethic, which you can see, you can understand why.
Well, he takes a lot of pride in that.
Yeah.
And that comes from his family. And it's the type of thing where being on the team for him is not enough just to be there. He doesn't care about that. He doesn't care about the social juice, as Ray Lewis says, of being on the team. He doesn't want to settle for being quote-unquote middle management. They have this nice little conversation, and that's where The Rock really plants his flag in the ground and says, no, I gotta be exceptional. I have to exceed beyond whatever this is, whatever this level is. So yeah, he's not too happy when he talks to the coach, when he talks to Coach Erickson, and the coach describes him as dutiful and not a rolling ball of butcher knives like he describes Warren Sapp. And the coach asks Dwayne if he's ever considered coaching. And that is just the exact thing. That's like being friend-zoned right there.
That sets him off so much. He's like, and then he says, I can do anything I put my mind to. And the whole group is like, ugh! Like, that's the most offensive thing someone could say to them. And it's like, he's trying to be inspiring to you. He's trying to tell you that you can do literally anything. But maybe you're not a football player. Maybe there's more than just football.
And, you know, I really liked that scene with all of the players out to dinner. It reminded me a little bit, in a way, of the scenes with all the wrestlers hanging out or having barbecues. And it's a nice cast of characters, especially now with really Warren Sapp coming in and having such a big personality, and Ray Lewis. And we even get another appearance by Uncle Luke, who's still kind of playing off Dwayne, kind of blowing him off. And we get this agent, this football agent, who comes in with his brick cell phone that's just full of any celebrity's number, and they're just calling out, oh, Phoebe Cates. And of course, he got Phoebe Cates in that mug, as one of them yells out. And Dwayne is just, at this point, it's just like, he's not getting the attention from the coach, he's not getting the attention from this agent, he's not getting attention from these celebrities who are quote-unquote sponsors of the team and big supporters of the team. So this is really hard for him. This is, and he's just about to wrap things up, you know, in his senior year, and he's not really going anywhere with this.
This is when I started to actually like really feel bad for him. I don't think I've really felt bad for Dwayne in most of these episodes, but this one got me. That scene in the coach's office when he's asking if anyone's asked for tapes of him, he just looks so dejected, and it hits hard. And it's like, he's doing amazing. He's doing a great job, but it's just not enough.
It's
when
not
you compare
enough.
It to everyone else.
And he realizes that, as we said, hard work is just still not enough. And this is where we really see his NFL draft daydreams take this harsh turn. And he's envisioning himself as the last draft pick. And he's holding up a jersey that says 249. And he says he bought his parents a mobile home, and they're all just disgusted. And it's just a really down note for him to end his college football career on. But don't worry, though, he does win the Scholar of the Year award from Coach Erickson.
This just, he lifts himself up from academic probation to a 2.8, I think it was, GPA. And I'm just, what is he prepared to do after college? Nothing.
Coach.
That's an insult.
For a lot of people, that would be honestly an ideal situation.
Yeah. He's got a very clear path. He could probably even coach for Miami. He's got an in. This coach appears to like him. He could probably get involved with that. Not good enough for him.
Definitely not good enough. There's still that idea for him that there's still something more. And even when we get to this point in the episode where we see Dwayne observing Rocky as he is training wrestlers at Skinny Jimmy's wrestling camp, literally watching his father, who was living his dream for a while, now essentially being a coach, the parallel being there. But he doesn't want that for his life. He doesn't want to ever reach that point. It's also, he's right there. He's literally feet away, a few feet away from a wrestling ring. He just needs to get in that ring to discover his potential and just be shot into the stratosphere. He's just not there yet.
I really thought, you know, they take liberties with, you know, the facts in this show. So I, you know, we know that he does go on to actually play football professionally, though not for the NFL. I really thought, though, that here he might have that moment where it just clicks for him. Like, maybe I should try that. Maybe I should get in the ring. Maybe I can do what my dad did.
Yeah, maybe even a moment of contemplation.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is in my blood.
But that doesn't happen at all.
No, I want to play football. You know, there's not even a moment of that. Even as Leah is giving him this pep talk and telling him these stories about Peter Maivia and, you know, trying to inspire Dwayne, it's still not clicking. But for me, this scene is where it really clicked in my mind how awesome it would be to get another season of Dwayne training to be a wrestler. I mean, it's always been a given that, oh yeah, it'd be cool to see that. But like this moment right here, I think is where this glued the entire show for me, especially the 90s episodes, but it glued it together and like made an emotional impact in me where when I think of this show, I'm probably going to remember a few scenes, like in years from now, I'll probably remember a few scenes. This is one of them. Seeing him sitting there ringside watching Rocky train and at this complete crossroads in his life, but he's still not even going to go down the path that we eventually know. And that's what it's frustrating, but it's also exciting at the same time.
Well, it's probably like he's watching his dad train these just idiots, because that's what they are. They don't know anything. And he saw his dad go from this great high of being a tag team champion to the lows of where he is now. So maybe at the same time, he's like, that's just what my future is going to be. I don't want to be like that. I think I can be better.
Yeah.
And maybe I can't go down that path, or I'm just going to be like this.
And I think in a lesser show, I think we would have had Rocky be like, hey, son, why don't you get in here and I'll show you the ropes, or, you know, something like that. Or someone will just walk up like, hey, you should call yourself The Rock and be a wrestler, huh? And like walk away like Jerry the King Lawler just walks in.
There's still an opportunity for that, though, because we have the next episode where I assume we're going to get another glimpse of college-age Dwayne. So don't write that off yet.
That's true. And I'm very excited to see what the finale has in store, because we know that it'll touch on all three time periods, as well as 2032, it being election day and all. So we will get, hopefully, a lot of answers. And I do hope that they set up for a future season. I just hope that we are not knocked down immediately by a cancellation. We have no idea. We haven't heard anything. So it could really go one way or the other. And I think with the success of this show that they have touted, I really do hope that it gets to that point where we can see another season and see these things kind of play out to their potential. At least one more season, I feel like they could really tell a nice story with all that we have just talked about.
Yeah, and it really makes you wonder what direction they could go with the other storylines. The young, like super young Dwayne and high school Dwayne, because we kind of have a path for Dwayne in the 90s. There are a few different ways they could go with it, but the 80s, you're kind of limited because we've already seen him in 1990.
Right. Well, as I've said, I thought that they could do an entire season of just the 90s episodes. So I'm sure that they have some sort of a direction for all of these stories. And we'll probably see what they, maybe a little bit of what they have in mind in the season finale to lead into a potential season two. And we will do all the speculation. We will, of course, be talking about the season finale next week. And then after that, we'll do kind of a holistic season one recap and wrap up. And we will just talk about everything that happens in the entire season and talk about where we hope that it will go for a potential season two. And hopefully we'll get some news about that soon. But for now, just kind of final thoughts about this episode. I loved it. I came out of it more than ever, hoping that this show gets renewed for another season. And I think that the finale is really just going to be the icing on the cake for me, unless they really do something I don't like in the 2032 scenes, which is entirely possible.
Yeah, because we usually have problems with them. But you have to hope that our dude Randall will be there to call the election for everyone. I imagine he's hosting like Dwayne's party, the post-election party. But yeah, I think this was, again, a really strong episode, like all of the 1990 ones are. They really don't disappoint when they're focusing on college Dwayne.
And extra bonus points for me this episode because they played one of my absolute favorite songs, which is Everybody, Everybody by Black Box during, it was like a training slash football montage. I just love that song. That's a great song. That is a banger from this era. Very, very era appropriate as well. Just in case you were worrying about that, is very appropriate for this. And I feel like in recent years, it's been in a lot of things. So it was nice to just see it pop up here. But that'll do it for this episode of Pro Wrestling Repackaged. Thank you so much for listening. And join us next time as we discuss the season finale, season one, episode 11 of Young Rock.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at PWRepackaged and email us at PWRepackaged@gmail.com.
Subscribe on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or your favorite podcast app. And visit PWRepackaged.crd.co for links to everything.
If you'd like to support the show, please consider leaving a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or any other platform that features reviews.
Pro Wrestling Repackaged is a Multitrack Minds production. Visit multitrackminds.com for projects and audio production services by yours truly.